Zach Thompson, we are back, bro.
We're back. People want it. We're here.
We're back and we're ready to smack. This week on Trench Tips, we are going to be talking about how to have a high-performing sales team. We both belonged to sales teams. We've ran sales teams and we are still...
Not all of them high-performing, though.
Not all of them high-performing. Let's get into the stories later. But we're going to talk about high-performing leadership, maybe, but how to get the most out of your sales team. It's going to be practical. Zach Thompson doesn't know what's coming, but I prepared a few bits that I'm going to throw your way. So I've asked for some controversial opinions when it comes to a sales team and building a high-performing sales team. So I'm just going to give you some stuff, and then I thought we could bat it back and forth, have some conversations, maybe share some stories, and maybe share some tips and tricks. Here we are. It's Jack Frimston. It's Zach Thomas. It's Trench Tips. Let's go. Okay. First one, opinion. Controversial, but discussion-worthy. Thank you, ChatGPT. A sales team isn't a family, it's a professional sports team. Bench those who can't play at the level required. Ooh, you don't like sports, so where are you going to take this fucker?
Mate, I'm a blue belt. How can I not like sports?
It's not a real sport, is it? Fighting.
Well, I'll see this weekend if it's a real sport when I'm fucking drowning you in that lake. Right, so... bench them. It's a professional sport. Bench them if they're not performing, right? That's the thought process. I'm with you on this. I'm not against it at all. I think when I started off, it was very, it's a family. I want to be the employer I always wanted to have. I want to have people here who like where they were. And all those things are true, but I think I got where the boundary is wrong. There is the fine line of we're here to do a job. And what's he called? Rick Lewis, really good podcast on high performance teams. He's got this quote where he says, what does he say? Unlimited love, limited time. So he's like,
yeah,
I'm here to support you 100%. I'll do absolutely everything I can for you, but there's a job to do and there's a limited time to do it in. So anything I can do to help you get there, I'm here, but there's a job to do. And I think that is a big one. And at this point in the business, we kind of know when people haven't got it. And after trying everything, we pull them out. What's been our operations director's line?
The question is, if we ask ourselves, have we done absolutely everything possible that we're responsible for to get them to that point? If we have and we're still not there, then that's fair enough. One of my team asked me the other day, and it's an interesting, just this is what came to me top of the dome. The response was, do you have favorites? And my answer was yes, those that are doing the job.
Wow.
That's
simple, isn't it?
It is very, from a leadership standpoint, I think there are employees that are probably wanting to be the favorite, and sometimes they might fall into the game of lip service. I think that if this could be a bit of a two-pronged episode, but like if you're the employee, all your employer is looking for is probably you to do the job, get on with the job, not complain about the job, and probably take some autonomy to complete the job. That is like high performance. Just this is what's expected of me. I'm going to do what's expected of me, and I'm probably going to go above and beyond. I'm maybe not going to go too far above and beyond where I end up drowning and I'm not by the bouncy castle anymore and I'm 30 minutes away and someone's got to come and save me. But it's okay to play in the shallow end, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Boundaries. I think that's a really, really good one. We've both got many stories that we can talk about of late night calls from employees. They do not longer happen.
You've got no boundaries with strangers on LinkedIn.
I've got some boundaries with strangers, but other strangers have less boundaries.
One of your mates on LinkedIn actually messaged me before saying, could we progress this to WhatsApp? And we have.
Wow. Who's my mate?
You don't know.
Ben.
Next question.
Ben. So they're not actually questions. I don't know if you were listening at the beginning. I said they're opinions, points, controversial, thoughts, but opinions, discussion worthy.
Yeah.
So you said next question, but actively.
It's all right. Hey, look, I made a mistake. I'm not a rag doll.
Well, don't act right. One. Right. If your reps are making less than $100 a day, they're not salespeople. They're professional email checkers.
Contextual, isn't it, this one?
Of course.
If you're doing a volume-based approach where you're looking for what's the most effective route to market possible,
mm-hmm.
too little, activity's too low. Depending on connection rates, you're probably looking north of 150, maybe to more towards 300 dials a day to have the conversation amount you need to have. Right, so that's kind of one angle.
Mm.
Now, if you were looking at being very strategic, so if you said to me now, get me a meeting in as quick a time as you can, or I'm going to burn your house down, yeah? I might go sales nav, new to role, pick the job role out. I might do a little search on Clay. There might be some things that I do in the background that take away from that dial time so I can make that call really effective. So I think it's nuanced, but I would say you can probably do all that work before you get there in the first place anyway. 100 dials is far more than most teams are doing anyway.
No,
everyone
I know.
That I speak to as a sales team, and then they have a problem 60. When they come to us. It's that spot, and it's like 30 to 60 dials a day, and you're looking at them like, oh, what do you think your problem is then? I can stop there. Like, no, I don't know. That's why I'm here. So 30 to 60 dials a day and you're not seeing any results, what do you think the problem is? And they look absolutely blagged, like, no, I don't know. It's activity.
I think as well, like you say, it's contextual. The question to ask, is the activity not there for a good reason? Okay. Mm. And so if there is a good reason, I don't agree that 100 dials, 200 dials is always the prescription. Maybe not. But that's what's the reason. Whereas a lot of the time, the reason will be, oh, I'm chasing stuff up. I'm researching. I'm doing this, blah, blah. Actually, the question to ask is, do you have a good reason to not put the input in? Or is the reason a variation of procrastination? If it is a variation of procrastination, then that's when you've got a problem as a sales leader. You need to work out the difference between, are my sales team being proactive or procrastinating?
You can drag everything back to these three points. You can go, we're talking to the wrong people all the time. That's a data problem. We're talking to the right people, we're not having the desired outcome. That's a skill piece. Or we're talking to the right people, we're having some good outcomes, but we're not having enough of them. That's an input piece.
Mm.
So between those three, you can probably solve most sales team problems just for asking those, but we look at, I mean, I did a post before saying it gets to a point where the answer is quite obvious, but what ends up being the prescription is marketing have just told us to put this offer in or change the wording or do like rip this. It's just mad things that come up, like more often than not, what I'm spotting is just do a bit more.
Do a bit more. Go above and beyond.
Not even a mad amount. It's like do a little bit more. You're two meetings short. Do two meetings worth of activity then.
It's ridiculous. I think this next one you're really going to like. Most sales managers aren't leaders. They're glorified scorekeepers.
Ooh, so I've had...
I told you you'd like it. Admit it, you like it.
I like it, man. I like it. What makes you shit?
Ralph Lauren.
Wow, man.
I bought it from a thrift shop before you start in the fucking comments.
I was going to say, someone's doing well. You should see his kitchen as well. So I've had a variety of different sales leaders. The ones that always used to fucking peck my head are the ones that are just locked into a spreadsheet all the time. It's like, yeah, I've got to get this spreadsheet over for the shareholders. It's just all fluffy numbers. Like, what have we got in pipeline? What would you bank on next month? And I just think, what the fuck are you on about? What would I bank on next month? I don't know. Like, what if all these people completely drop dead? That's not how it works. Yeah, at all. It's just not how it works. Like, keeping score on fucking what? But, I mean, maybe we'll get into this in some of the later points. The best boss I ever had used to do this thing where he'd be like, what's a deal we could get over the line, but actually something's stopping it. And everyone would have the thing. They'd be like, oh, there's this one I've been pushing through monthly to try and make something happen. He'd be like, right, give me the name and the number, write it down, get one from everyone. And he'd be like, right, you lot all focus on whatever they needed to focus on. I'll bang through these. And you could hear him negotiate with people, banging through the calls, close that for you, closed on the board in their name. And it's multi-pronged that as a leader. I was talking about this yesterday with some of my team. The laws of influence, that reciprocity thing that we think of as like a sales tool, getting influence from your team, being the one that's willing to get in the trenches and do the job and do the callback and help you out with the deal is much better than fucking pissing about of a spreadsheet. Like, what do you think is going to get over the line, or what can I help you get over the line right now that would make you hit your target this month? That one has a really positive outcome that makes the rep look good, makes you look good in the long term, and one is just fucking pointless and everyone knows it.
I even think like the reciprocity thing of like, if you can do something for somebody where it's like an act of service, that is so much more powerful than throwing another fucking incentive at it. You know what I mean?
100%.
So I knew you'd enjoy that one. No, I love the incentive of life. I think that's a great incentive that one day you'll be dead. Remember, you will die. High performance doesn't come from motivation, M-dash. It comes from systems and standards. Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to say the M-dash? Or do you not say that? I can't remember anymore.
M-dash. That's how you expose yourself, isn't it? And take your trousers off. Yeah, I think you could probably say it simpler, couldn't you? Motivation is temporary and it's fleeting. And you should certainly, to Naval Ravikant's point, act when inspired and motivated because it's finite. Recognize that it's finite. But if we were all waiting to be motivated, well, Monday's a write-off, Friday's a write-off, no point working them. All right, we'll change the working day then. So my day starts on Tuesday now instead. Nah. Actually, because that's a write-off now as well. There's a hump day in there as well. Before you know it, you can talk yourself out of your whole week. I've not slept very well. The circumstances weren't perfect. So relying on motivation is like saying, oh, I really hope it doesn't rain today when you're in England. Like, you've just got no guarantees. But what you can do is pack a brolly, can't you?
Exactly.
So I would say... Why did you do that then?
I didn't know you were done. Continue. Sorry.
So I would say what's more reliable is habits.
Yes. But then,
That's why I'm messing with you.
Yeah, I know you're a fucker. But let's twist that then from leadership. So systems and procedures. I think so often leadership gives autonomy, but then it's a case of like, there's nothing to follow. Within our agency, we train the team on the same methodology. You know the methodology. Follow this. This is the input that's required. This is the job to do. Duh. But we know. My last job before coming on with you was basically get on the phones and just work it out. Here's your training is your system training. There is no sales system, no sales procedure. Like if you get all of your sales team and say, right, okay, let's talk about what our sales procedure is, would they all say the same thing? If they don't...
You've actually made such a good point.
Thanks, can I chime in, man? Please.
So when we were writing...
the reason for my...
Very good. So when we were writing the book, Sales is Therapy, available everywhere, but actually only on Amazon. When we were writing that, I was looking at the differentiators of the book because there's a lot of sales books out, a lot of sales methodologies. But the common theme is most sales methodologies focus on product first, so like product-led selling, which would be, can I get you in the car showroom and show you the car? And then in hopes that if I show you the car and tell you how great it is and look like a product expert, you'll buy. Yeah? Mm. Whereas if the system is focused around the buyer and the buyer's decision-making, behaviors, motivations, if it's much more of a psychological exploration, you'll find that it's kind of much more sticky when you teach it to people than going through systems then. Because if you've worked in one and you're listening to this, a business like this, or you've dealt with maybe businesses like this, the teams that have the product style sell have moments where suddenly they're worried about discounts and suddenly they're playing games. Oh, we don't have this feature. and it becomes, you get kind of stuck in the mud on like discount cycles and stuff like that, when actually it doesn't matter. And I was saying to a team that we do some training with earlier in the week, if you're in a saturated market where 5-10 different companies can all claim to offer exactly what you do, your unique selling point becomes literally how you sell. So everyone else is trying to do BAN, budget authority, need time, but you're going, well, why do you need to do anything anyway? Like what's driving you to do something now? You're the one who's going deeper and getting a deeper understanding. Who do you think is going to stand out more? All the people that are trying to get to budget or the people who are trying to get to true understanding?
It's all about them. Don't ask questions for you. Ask questions for them. Lovely. I'll give you one more because this one's an interesting one.
Ask me anything you want. 6 foot.
It's not a question. It's not a question. I've said this before. They're fucking
33. 33. People don't think it, but yeah, I'm 33.
Their statement. What's your Whoop say, though?
Nothing yet. We're actually not
knackered.
It says knackered, yeah.
If you celebrate 30% success rate in sales, imagine a surgeon celebrating saving 3 out of 10 patients.
Say that to me one more time, because I was looking at my Whoop score.
At least you're honest. If you celebrate 30% success rate in sales, imagine a surgeon celebrating saving 3 out of 10 patients. You know what the equivalent is, right?
I don't know what the point is that's trying to make.
No, I don't, because obviously a surgeon should save 10 out of 10. And what if it's saying you should hit 10 out of 10 deals that come through? That's also not true, because that's not sales. But what it made me think of is when I hear people talking and celebrating about how they might have been one-off commission.
Yeah. I've actually got another way you can look at this as well.
Go on.
If you thought of the sales job as a yes or a no, getting to a yes or a no, as that was the outcome, that was the doctor saving the life outcome, how many people are getting to a concrete yes or a no? And I think a bit more, I was chatting to other guys in my team this morning about like, oh, well, that's not a no, is it? What you've just said isn't a no. And then coached him through a few different things to change. And I was like, actually, just ring them back and just go through that again. Went for it again on meeting on the board.
Lo and behold.
So it's like, oh, if I try to get the no, and actually I might end up with a, no, I wouldn't say that. Or yeah, I'd change a few that you might end up at a yes. But even still, if you end up at, yeah, it's a concrete no, we could never work together, we can never do anything about it. You go in your mind, good, I've done the job. Where you haven't done the job as a salesperson, if you end up on a, well, I'm not sure, don't quite know what they meant by that. If you don't know, you need to get better. You've missed
something. Yeah. Or they're going to come back to me when, at some point, they said they would.
And what was your bit?
Okay.
Yours was different.
What was my bit? My bit was like celebrating the nearly wins. And I've heard people, and it's not to say don't smell the roses, but in the past, people that probably aren't here anymore, I've definitely, I was one off commission. Oh, well, I nearly hit. Oh, I did well this month, but I nearly did it. It's like, do you know what I mean? I nearly saved his life isn't really something to shout about.
I've got good news. He's dead, but I didn't nearly save his life.
Yeah, exactly. Loads of value, mate. We're really big on giving upfront value these days. It's our new sales methodology. Give value, give value, give value. That was an episode that was giving you value as the audience. Just some of our tips and tricks and stories about building a high performance. I'm going to do something that you might shout me for, but... We get a lot of lovely feedback on the podcast, a lot of lovely comments, but we're always driving that 5-star review. Can you comment? Can you like it? Can you subscribe? Do all of that fun and games. And if you subscribe on whatever platform and you leave us a review, or you leave us a review on the book, whatever you do, screenshot it me, send it to me or Zach, and it is going to be low ticket, but everybody that does a review is going to get a £30 gift card. Review the book,
really?
Review the podcast, £30. I've got enough budget for the first 20. Jack Frimpston on all handles. Send it me. Let's get you £30. Anything from you, Zach Thompson?
My task is slightly different. Steal a car and break into a bank. And send
thanks
me
for
footage
listening,
of you in
thanks
the bank.
Thanks for listening. take care, guys. Good to see you. Yes, it is. Take care.